Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload podcast. I'm Cliff Saren and my guest today is Anushree Verma from Gartner. Today's podcast topic is all about the world of agentic AI. Hello Anushree, and thank you for joining me today. Let's to frame the conversation at least, can we kick things off with Gartner's definition of agentic AI, please?
Thanks, Cliff. So what Gartner defines agentic AI as is that they are goal-driven software entities that have been granted rights by the organization to act on its behalf to autonomously make decisions and, more importantly, take action. So they can be combined with, you know, AI techniques which are and have components which have memory, planning, sensing, tooling, and some guardrails, of course, to complete the task and achieve a particular goal.
Okay. So, I mean, I've written in the past about robotic process automation and intelligent robotic process automation. Now, where does RPA finish and agentic AI begin?
Absolutely, Cliff. And that's a very common question, I think, with a number of organizations right now, because RPA has been for quite some time in the industries. RPA, if you put it in a very simple language, RPA is scripted, has a predetermined output that you would desire.
Yes.
But when we talk about agentic, it works with different levels of autonomy. It can have proactive planning as well. But it has, the distinction is that it has a certain level of AI agency. So it works autonomously to an extent, and it also is working towards a particular goal. So you're not just working off a scripted kind of a document, but you are actually working towards achieving a goal, which can be just as, you know, broad as achieving an energy efficiency percentage. So, but then there could be multiple agents that are working to achieve that energy efficiency by taking some actions.
Okay.
So it can be different in those ways.
So, I mean, how do these agents help us make better decisions, or help our computer systems make better decisions, our enterprise software make better decisions for us?
Yes. So, and that's, I think, the biggest impact of agentic systems is that it changes the future of decision making. It just doesn't analyze data sets, any complex data sets, but it identifies patterns and acts on them as well. So you're not looking at any labor intensive data modeling. So it, because it is going to help you solve the problems better, reduce the time to action, and enable new concepts of scale. So it actually replaces some disillusionment by giving it agency and solving problems that require action than just, you know, mere content generation that we saw in the past 2 years.
Yes, okay. I mean, it seems that most enterprise software companies have some form of agentic AI. I mean, I won't name them all, but you know, my inbox is full of press releases and stories coming in about we have a new agent, you know, agentic AI system, or we've added agentic AI to our software. Do you think these things will end up being siloed and just run independently, or I know you mentioned the word multi-agent AI. Do you think they will be able to coordinate their activities in the future?
So currently the demand or the applications of agentic, and because it has seen an evolution over time because of all the AI systems that have been deployed, the primary applications are around CRM systems, or the initial use cases have been around CRM systems. So we are looking at a lot of agents that are improving the user experience, right? So they're just being deployed at the end of the entire workflow, where we're talking about just improving the user experience. But the
Okay.
real power of agentic is when you start looking at automating or orchestrating the entire workflow and taking decisions based on these complex workflows and automating them towards the end.
And that I think leads on to my next question. You know, whether it's a single agentic AI system or a system that uses multiple agents, you know, one of the things that Computer Weekly has been looking at is accuracy of these systems, especially when they are feeding responses into other enterprise systems that then have to take those decisions and act on those decisions. I guess, I mean, accuracy will improve over time. But what are you seeing in terms of progress, particularly with applications that understand that there will or there may be errors and have some kind of a tolerance to those errors?
Yes. And because of that, Cliff, honestly, we've seen that a lot of generative AI projects are also being abandoned because they haven't been well thought of. Specifically after POCs, they're not going into implementation because of, these poor data quality or any inadequate risk controls, escalating costs, or unclear business value as well. So one piece of it is error tolerance, where it hasn't been well evaluated in terms of, whatever implementations are happening. Because and now when we're talking about agentic systems having a certain level of accuracy, the agent could be making decisions that are 99.9% of the times that are incorrect or correct. That is the market maturity is not there to take a call on this level of error tolerance. Because right now, what we're looking at, majority of the projects in 2025 is all going to be experiments and POCs. I hardly see any of them that is going into production. And if it is going into production, it is all very early levels of AI agency, as I explained in the at the start of this podcast, that we're still looking at very minimal increments or, capabilities that are on the left-hand side of the AI agency spectrum that Gartner defines. So the entire architecture from an error tolerance point of view, we are still very early to, look at model accuracy or, even any kind of agent behavior problems, any kind of issues that may arise because of agent access, although these are being put into place now, but I think it is still very immature from that point of view.
I mean, I guess it's worth just exploring this a little bit further, if I may. I don't expect there to be an industry standard, but maybe independent certification of these systems would help the application that's consuming the agentic AI or the outputs from the agentic AI to understand. You know, there's a 1 in 100 chance that that thing is wrong, that the output is wrong, and you can then work around that. You understand that there's a 1 in 100 chance that it's wrong, and then you know what to do. And maybe you would pass on those certain cases where it is going to be less accurate to another agentic system, which may have a higher level of accuracy and error correction. What do you think about this idea of maybe there won't be an industry standard for this stuff, but there should at least be. We need some form of an understanding that, you know, there will be. I mean, maybe it'll be an agentic system that is cheaper or runs on less sophisticated hardware, and it may not be as accurate as the more expensive one, because obviously they are powered by more powerful computers, more powerful GPUs, and potentially can produce a better result. They have better training, so you know there may be a cost benefit to going with the lower cost one. I mean, I'm looking at small language models at the moment. You know, they have certain use cases, but they can't be used for general purpose things, but they may be far more accurate than a general purpose AI system for certain in certain niches and certain domains.
Yes, absolutely, Cliff. And that's where the direction and an ideal implementation of agents would be, in my opinion, if it is being cost effective, but it is domain specific. And with agentic systems, we are seeing that domain specific implementations or lighter models also come in use for agentic systems because you have to evaluate the ROI that you would get. It's okay to just improve the user experience through agents that everyone is trying to sell into. But the problem also is that there are such siloed applications currently that is being implemented. Every application has an agent, right? As you mentioned at the start also,
Yes.
that we have for every whether it is HCM, whether it is ERP systems, MRP, anything, that we have an agent that we should be interacting with. But that's just adding on to layers of interaction. Yes, it'll make it easy for me, yes, but that is only going to add to technical depth for the enterprises, right? Because you're
Yes.
going to invest more in terms of buying those applications. But if we are looking at real ROI based on those investments or based on the implementations, we have to definitely look at specialized agents and not just general purpose agents that are doing the tasks. To again, it should be ideally be not just using a general model, but it and we are seeing that shift happening towards domain specific models and lighter models that come in with maybe certain parameters are different,
Yes.
but it definitely works very well from if it is, for example, for a healthcare or if it is for a banking and financial services, you have to fine-tune those models a lot and spend. And with agentic systems, you're going to reference. And if it is a multi-agentic architecture, you're going to reference and call out LLMs multiple times, right? So it's going to increase the cost, which haven't been evaluated at this point in time.
I guess it reflects the real world. I mean, the reason we have experts is because they have expert domain expertise, right? They are experts, right? They really understand subject matter, real a human that really understands subject matter, and that there is no reason to assume that an AI could do everything as accurately as something that was trained very specifically on in a specific domain.
And the additional problem with the implementation is that they are still being looked at augmenting humans' task. For example, generative AI was still meant to augment our work, but agentic is meant to offload those tasks from the human, some repetitive tasks
Yes.
or some document-heavy processes. It's meant to generative AI was meant to augment, but agentic is meant to automate.
Well, Anushree, thank you ever so much for taking part in today's podcast, and thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.